Someday, someone might ask you why. Why you are a Christian. Maybe you'll ask yourself the same question. Maybe you already have. Because it's an important question to ask. Given all the confusion, the misunderstanding about what it means to be a Christian in this day and age, given the church's modern day and age-old betrayals of Jesus' love, given the things that have been said and done in Jesus' name, given the church's timidity about addressing the things that matter, and the church's enthusiasm about investing in things that do not matter, given the divisions between Christian believers, in the face of all these things, the question is worth asking. Why are you a Christian? Now, I'm sure we each have our own very good answer to that question, our own good reasons. But many of us probably agree on this one point. We believe because the story we just heard compels us to believe. You know, theologians over the centuries have tried to explain what that story means and have come up with different theories, all of them compelling in their own way. We should believe because Christ's death ransoms us from sin. We should believe because in Jesus Christ, God sets a moral example for us. We should believe because Christ in his death and resurrection is the victor over the hostile powers of evil that hold humanity in subjection. These theories are helpful in some ways, but in the end, there is no theory that can define and dissect the gospel theory and put it in a neat theological package. It's the whole story in its wild mixture of poignant, predictable and unexpected turns of events all laid out for all of us to see and hear that makes many of us believe. Because life is like that. And because Jesus is in the midst of it all. The story hides nothing. It does not pretend. It shows the world for what it is in its glorification of imperial rule and military might. It uncovers human beings for who we are in our fear-laced, half-hearted promises and easily swayed opinions depending on the mood of the crowd. In our attempts to cover ourselves up and run away, in one memorable case, literally leaving everything behind and becoming an undisciple. The story shows Peter in the depths of remorse, and many of us there with him. And yet the story reveals Jesus for who he is, in his ability to see right through us, in the compelling complexity of his human and divine nature, and in the clear, abiding simplicity of his faith. The Jesus of this story is a Jesus to whom we want to give our lives. And we want to give him our lives because just as in the days of Roman rule, when crucifixions happened so often that people got used to them, in our own society so warped by the frequency of violence and injustice that despair and apathy run rampant because we are so used to those things, what Jesus goes through cracks our hearts open and keeps them from turning into stone. And we want our hearts to be cracked open. We need them to be cracked open. And so we believe. We believe because when the people who were closest to Jesus flee in fear and terror, falling away one after the other as his terrible predictions of denial and suffering unfold, Jesus loves them still. And he stays true to himself in the midst of it. Are you the Messiah? The chief priest asked. I am. I am. He does not hesitate. He knows who he is through and through, even in the face of the most vile mockery and severe persecution and relentless abandonment. He is who he is. And we believe in Jesus too because for all these predictions of betrayal and desertion, even he was surprised by the grace and compassion of a nameless woman with a jar of costly ointment who did all she could by anointing him with his body before burial. Jesus shows us how to pause and receive generosity from the least expected people on the way. He shows us that there is no contradiction between giving to the poor and lavishing love on particular people whose final day is drawing near. We believe because Jesus knows where his security lies, not in the facade of earthly things, but in the foundation of godly things. He has no need for fancy possessions. In his humility, he borrows literally everything. He borrows the donkey to ride into Jerusalem. He borrows a room for the Passover meal with his friends. He never has a regular place to lay his head because things don't matter to him. Faith. We believe because this story of Jesus breaks our hearts, and in the same breath, it makes them whole again. By turning into his death the way he does, Jesus emboldens us to turn into our own sorrows and struggles. Jesus wrestles with God out loud in the dark. He throws himself to the ground in grief. He begs God to take the cup of suffering from him. And that display of his humanity is a comfort to us. Because he understands. He knows what it is to be alone and to be grieved unto death. And we believe because although Jesus feels the desolation of God's absence of every cell in his body, he does not turn back. He rides on in majesty. The majesty of the sacred king he is, turning the order of things upside down all along the way. The way to new life in this upside down world that Jesus travels through leads through the valley of the shadow of death. And when the shadow is as real as it has ever been, Jesus stands up and he wakes his sleeping disciples saying, "Enough! The hour has come. Let us be going." So in the end, maybe we believe because Jesus stirs us up to rise up, to step out of the garden of grief and into the streets of life-giving witness. As happened yesterday in cities all around our suffering country and our world, in Washington and Raleigh, in Detroit and Los Angeles, in London and Berlin, when youth and children led us in loud and collective, determined echoes of Jesus' lonesome Gethsemane cry, "Enough! Enough is enough." It is the faith-filled, life-giving cry of the hour. And with that cry, the march toward Easter has begun. There is no turning back. Let us go. For our lives, for the lives of our neighbors, for the life of our world. Let us go. Because we believe.